This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
For the Built for Tough Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network, and wherever you are on the Odyssey app. Good Thursday morning. Boomer's still out this week. These days that I had off, both baseball teams were horrendous, but last night we got some good feelings back for both of them. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Gee, what's up, man? Good week?
Yes, it's been good. It has been good. Yesterday I didn't do a damn thing, but that's sort of what you want to do on vacation. Sit around, hang out, recharge, and get ready for these games that last night were really important for both teams. I mean, I know it's still a month and a half to go, and we have this roller coaster constantly in the baseball season where we overrate things, we overreact to things, but I don't think that going into last night for the Yankees and Mets, we were overreacting into how important these games were. And the Mets get off to a great start. The Beatty story is awesome. They hang on. But the Yankees, in several different ways last night, were torturing their fans.
Oh.
Torturing their fans, and somehow end up coming out with a victory with the Donaldson Grand Slam. But, I mean, looking at Twitter, there's a Yankee fan group text that I'm on that these fans always screaming about everything. When they're down 4-0, then obviously when they're down in the top of the 10th, it was full on. It's the worst that I have heard, the downest I have heard the Yankee fan in probably 10 years.
And how couldn't it be?
Yeah.
Not for nothing, but we sat here all week and just, you know, the nothingness of the Yankee offense and just getting shut out. One run, no hits, not no hits, but two hits here, three hits there. They look like a lousy baseball team. And then last night, they had that one stretch, right, where it was it five strikeouts in a row, six strikeouts? It's like, what in the hell is this team doing? And boy, you know, Josh Donaldson didn't crush it to left. He sends it to right. But my God, if he doesn't hit that home run last night and they find a way to lose that game again, I don't even know what we're doing. I don't even know what to say anymore. So they escaped it. Now you got to go back it up. But at least for one night, they kind of, I think the way Michael Kay said it on Yes, you know, the victory from the jaws of defeat.
Right.
Because that game looked like twice, two different times, they were losing it. And the guy who he has not had a good season, as we know, for him to come up big, that was enormous for this team. I agree.
And I know that the common thought would be, well, maybe this is the game. This is the catalyst for this team to now take off. Like, you need a game like that to be able to get going. But, you know, before I left for a couple of days off, I was saying that I think that the Yankees had enough time to figure it out. After watching them lose and lose and lose.
And the way
that they were losing. And then also the injuries, the fact that the bullpen is a total mess right now. And this lineup has shown you what they've shown you. And you don't feel great about the rotation outside of Cole and Cortez. I think this team is essentially dead when it comes to winning a championship this year.
They might be. And the problem with even what you said is, as we discussed yesterday, even with Cole and Cortez being good, they still weren't winning. And, you know, I know Cortez gives up the 3-run homer, but Cole only gave up the 1 run, I guess it was the other night. When your offense is anemic like they have been, it's really difficult to think that you're going to string together wins. That said, if you're a glass half full person, That's the only way you can look at it, is that maybe last night does spark them, because you've got a huge series now this weekend. Had they lost last night going into this game tonight with the Blue Jays, there would be full-on panic. All right, they win the game. You settle things down for at least 24 hours. But as great as baseball can be, that you can figure things out 24 hours after a horrendous loss, you can be right back where you were tonight if the Blue Jays go mash and all of a sudden you're down 8-0 in the third inning. I mean, that's how quick it can turn. Or you can take last night and build some momentum towards something, because right now, it's kind of like we said all week. I don't know what they are. I don't know what to expect, and I don't think they do either.
Well, this is the team that we thought we were going to get after the offseason happened. Like, in the first couple of games, if you remember, right in the beginning of the season, they were scuffling, and Yankee fans were going crazy because the Judge contract didn't get done, and then, bang, they took off right away. But the team we're seeing now is sort of the team that we expected to see after last year and then the offseason that they had. So the fact that we kind of had an idea that this team would struggle in certain areas, and it's happening now at the worst time, really makes me think that, you know, they are who we thought they were going to be, which is a team that's just not good enough to compete in the American League, which is what has been the story for them year in and year out in the postseason. Good regular season, make it to the playoffs, win a bunch of games, get beat by a better team. Red Sox, Rays, Astros twice. That's what happens, and that's what's going to happen again. They're going to make it to the playoffs because of this great run that they went on. They'll probably still win the division. If they collapse, it's going to be bigger than any collapse we've ever seen in baseball, right up there. And they're going to get beat by a better team.
You remember, it was 2015 when the Mets won to the World Series. This is what I can't wrap my head around. Mets go to the World Series in 2015, and if I remember correctly, maybe it was 16 when they just went to the playoffs. I might be getting the years confused. But remember, they had a monster 2 weeks or 3 weeks that pretty much carried them for the entire season, where they were able to play like 500 ball, but because they had that big run for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it was enough to get them to the promised land, to the postseason. This wasn't a two-week run. This is what I can't understand. The Yankees were not good. They were dominant for 3 months. Like 100 games, they were really amazing. This wasn't a two-week run. And I guess it's the, I don't know, maybe it's the injuries, I don't know, I'm not sure. But what I can't understand is how you go from 40 games over to 2-11, to 8-17, to not just mediocre, but to bad. Because they went from amazing to bad really quickly. And maybe it comes back, I don't know. Or it's somewhere in the middle, which is, I think, what you're alluding to, that they're a mediocre 500 type team.
Yeah, they're,
I don't know,
slightly above average. I think the reason why they were as good as they were early on was the pitching was, they were pitching above their heads. I mean, I know that Cortez has kept it going. I know Cole has been good. But, you know, Tyone there was as good as anybody, you know, as he's ever been in his career early on in the season. And then Severino was back and was good. And now we haven't seen him for a long time. So, and then Montgomery is no longer here. So I just think that the rotation was way above their heads, and the bullpen was too. I mean, they were relying on Clay Holmes, who in the first half of the season was as dominant as anybody in the game.
And that's a big part of it too. You're absolutely right.
And think about the bullpen now. You know, Aroldis Chapman, they hung on to Aroldis Chapman 1 year too long. So he's making $17 million, I think, this year. And that was one of the things we talked about at the end of last year. If you're looking to clear some salary and you're worried about the luxury tax, this is a guy who's at the end of his career. Trade him. Someone will take a flyer on him and try to figure it out. But he seems like he is completely cooked. Clay Holmes obviously dealing with an injury now, and he was pretty bad prior to that.
Michael King.
Michael King out. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's not like, you know, Efros came in, but he's not going to be the guy that you're going to trust in a...
He might have to be. Like, where else you going?
I mean, Loaisica?
You go basically pitcher by pitcher. You bring up the injuries to the guys in the bullpen, and then what's left?
Nothing. I mean, this is... It's that right there, I think, is one of the more concerning things about when you're trying to project the Yankees forward and thinking, can they turn it around? Give me the path to them turning it around with the bullpen. How does that happen? Clay Holmes comes back and is as dominant as he was in the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
What are the odds of that?
You're not wrong. You're 100% right. And the more you actually reference each pitcher by pitcher and player by player and the injuries, you know, it's a big collection of crap, essentially, and you kind of understand why they've slid a little bit. But the bigger part for me, more so than the bullpen, has been the lack of offense and the fact that they don't score. And, you know, even average and bad Major League Baseball teams score a few runs a game. This team is going through stretches over the last, you know, month where you're putting up no runs, one run, no runs, two runs. And, you know, last night they're being shut out again. I mean, you want to go, someone posted on Twitter and we talked about it too, but, you know, you're into the fifth, sixth inning and they got no runs last night again. Like, how many nights can you just bore your fans? Now, it turned out to be a thrilling win for sure, but it's just inning after inning, a whole bunch of nothing. And that, while the bullpen is clearly an issue and will be going forward, if they can't hit, it doesn't even, you're never going to get to the bullpen where it matters.
And that's been the biggest problem with the Yankees. And I know that everybody wants to refer to the pitching and Brian Cashman's shortcomings and adding to the rotation at key times. That's always a talking point. But the main reasons why they have lost in the postseason is the fact that the offense doesn't show up. And it year in and year out does not show up. And the main example of that was 2017. We talk about it constantly. Absolutely. As a reference point. They couldn't hit.
Right.
Now, I understand that they were facing a team that had, you know, really, really good pitching, and that's what you're going to get in the postseason. You're going to see really, really good pitching for the most part. So if this is happening during the regular season, what's going to happen during the postseason? The same stuff that has happened the last couple of years.
It sure might, and you're right, because while everybody wants to kill the Astros in that year for all the stuff they did, and rightly so, whatever, fine. You're still not going to win if you don't score runs.
Yeah.
That's still the name of the game. They didn't in that series. They haven't in this stretch, and that's kind of where they're at. Now, the good news is, if you want the positive part of this, the news on DJ LeMahieu, positive. Mm-hmm. The news on Giancarlo Stanton, hopefully will be back sooner rather than later. So maybe piece by piece, they kind of get a little more whole, and maybe that does help when they kind of get back to scoring runs and doing the things they were doing earlier. But until then, they've got to kind of muddle through this. And what you got to do this weekend to me is just, you got to go take 2 of 4. You got to split with the Blue Jays, keep it where it's at, and everything to me will work itself out. But I agree, you get to October, good luck.
And I have to go back and look at this to have the facts to back up the point, but I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I feel like both with Judge and Stanton, when they go on the DL or the IL and they come back, both of those guys take a long time to get back into rhythm.
You might be right. I have to check that.
That's what it feels like to me. Like, all right, Giancarlo Stanton, there's a week of him waving that slider is off the plate, you know? And then finally he gets back into it. And same thing with Aaron Judge when he has missed time. He hasn't missed really time this year at all. But with Stanton, it just takes a long time for those guys to come back. So essentially, they're on the IL an extra week, week and a half until they figure it out and turn back into themselves.
Well, not to mention, it also just takes Stanton a long time to come back and play.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, this is now, it's August 19th. If he's going on a rehab assignment soon, I would, what, maybe the 26th, 27th you see him with the Yankees? So you're talking a full month where he's missed for what didn't seem like a big deal. And yet here we are 4 weeks later, and it turns out he's missed a lot of time.
Well, I mean, how many times have we seen that, both with the Yankees and Mets? I mean, it's really unbelievable. You know, I mean, I think the Jets learned that with Mekhi Becton to, like, you know, don't open your mouth too much. Because it was like, oh, we have initial reports, we're feeling really good about it. Next thing you know, he is out for the year.
Yeah.
But it seems like, you know, with these baseball teams, this really hasn't happened with the Mets this year. But guys go on the IL, it's like, all right, it's a 2 to 3 week injury, and next thing you know, it ends up being, you know, 2 months. Like Jacob DeGrom last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all waiting for him to come back. He never came back. Never saw him. And then there was a dispute about whether or not he tore, his UCL or not, if there was a tear or not at the end of the season where him and Sandy Alderson are going back and forth. I mean, that was a mess. Luckily, the Mets haven't had any of those issues this year. But the Stanton injury, if you correlate, you know, Judge going in a hole, you know, the worst stretch that he has had recently, and Stanton not being there, I mean, that right there is part of the main reason why you're in the situation that you're in.
Yep, and you know what? The Judge thing's funny, too, because when you look at what he's done lately, it's not been a whole lot. I mean, you go back to Friday, really, was the last productive night he's had. But to your point, you look at the lineup you're throwing out there, too. Why would you throw him anything in the middle of the plate? You wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I heard Al in the warm-up show with CeeLo talking about his at-bat with the bases loaded. I personally would like to see him be more aggressive, 100%. And there's two pitches in that at-bat
Well, I mean, the pitch that walked him.
I mean, my God, that is down the middle, knee-high. I'd like to see him take a swing, but it's also not down the middle. It's not a mistake pitch, and he's got a good eye. Whatever, you get the run in, but that's kind of the spot you want him. You want to see him go up there and just mash the ball.
Yeah, I mean, what would you rather have? You know, Aaron Judge swinging on 3-0 in that situation, or Gleyber Torres being the guy who's
I want
up
Aaron
next.
Judge swinging 3-0 exactly. on a pitch that's down the middle knee-high.
I know, and I know Gleyber Torres hit a home run last night, but he also grounded to a double play right after that.
Yeah, so, and it's and that's one of those things where you feel like, oh, my God, here we go again.
Yeah, I mean, you thought... I mean, if you're someone who didn't stay up through the rain delay or you gave up after the three runs that the Rays scored in the 10th, I mean, you were just livid with this team.
But well, think about how bizarre the night was, though, and I know we'll get into the Mets, but think about how bizarre the night is. So the Yankees look dead and listless offensively again for much of the night. They come back, they get it to extra innings, and Tampa right back scores a few. And you got to think, all right, well, you know what, here we go. That's all. And then they get the big bottom half of the 10th. The Mets who wind up winning, you've got Scherzer on the mound, big lead. You go to Diaz in the eighth with the heart of that lineup, and you're thinking, you know what? And then they get the extra runs. You need tack-on runs. Beautiful. And then you're holding your breath in the bottom of the ninth inning, but in the end, wins for both teams, so all is good.
And, yes, all is good. I do feel like, though, that the Yankees, this was more of an aberration situation.
You're probably right.
I have to see them, because they were bad longer than they were good last night. And I need to see them really look like themselves from earlier on in the season against the Blue Jays to have any confidence.
The thing that's concerning to me, too, and I know we've done this for, I feel like, several years, and I know it's really the way baseball has gone as well, you feel like the Yankees are, again, a team that's just waiting for that grand slam. They're waiting for that three-run homer, whereas other teams, not only, a lot of teams are a home run or bust, too, these days. But there are teams, like the Mets have generated offense without the home run ball. I think they won how many games without hitting a home run and still scoring a bunch of runs. It seems like the Yankees are just up there waiting for that five-run homer. And it's a tough way to win games. And we had Chipper Jones on the other day. He was even saying just, the game is, you know, so different from when he played. It's boring. I mean, the ending's exciting, but my God, if you sit through and have the rain delay, it's boring.
Yeah, there's two things that have happened in professional sports recently that have made the regular seasons tougher to watch than they ever were. One, launch angle in baseball.
I know where you're going with the second one.
And the other one is the three-point shot.
I knew it.
In the NBA.
I agree with you.
And both of those have made these regular seasons at times insufferable. Now, I know that it can be really exciting when Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and the best of the best are doing it and Aaron Judge is hitting 45 home runs. But the rest of the league trying to do it, it's terrible.
Because you're not good at it.
Yes.
I couldn't agree more. And the three-point shot, never taking away how hard it is and the ability these guys have. But if you're not a good three-point shooting team and you're just hoisting up 30 a game, ugh.
Yeah, and guys not even trying to get rebounds.
Brutal
just
to watch.
Running back. Yeah, I mean, and we've seen it how many times? I mean, it's like, you know, you sit over there, you give some of, you know, the Wizards last night were 3 of 45 from 3.
Yes.
I mean, it's just... How does this happen?
Yeah.
All right, it is Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Just getting started on this Thursday morning. We got CeeLo coming in.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Boomer and G
Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. A couple of wins last night for a change. We've got CeeLo with us to give us all the details. Good morning, Chris. What's happening?
Good morning. Powered by Superbook. Now open with better odds and favorable prices. Also brought to you by Jack Pocket. Play official state lottery games on your phone. Rain delays for both teams last night. One in Georgia, the other in the Bronx. And the latter lasted for a little over an hour. Plus, the game goes to extra innings. So just as the clock struck midnight, Josh Donaldson saved Aroldis Chapman and the Yankees.
An 0-1 to Donaldson. Swung on, hit in the air to right, toward the line. That ball is going to be gone! It's a grand slam, a walk-off grand slam to win the game. Josh Donaldson powered one down the right field line into the seats. It's a grand slam. That's Josh, by gosh. And doing it with a notch.
Of course, John Sterling here on the Fan.
The photo that our social media team put out was awesome.
Well, you got to check out the video as well, because they followed up with that. And I was going to say, if you have not seen the video of John and his facial reaction, check it out on the Fan Twitter account. Izzo was busy last night. I assume it was Izzo. That's what Al told me.
Well, I mean, he's just constantly up doing God knows what.
A lot of pictures and GIFs last night.
He did a great job.
On the dark web, you know, he's like deep into Reddit. God knows what he's doing.
Yeah, well, he was all over this one.
It's just like a message boards.
That's all it is?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Like, you could find any, I'm sure there's a WFAN Reddit.
Oh, that's a lock.
Anything that, like, is new that I'm trying or something, I'll look it up on Reddit.
No kidding. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I'll put, like, if there was a new allergy medication I wanted to take, I put in that on Reddit and see what people were saying
about
it.
It's like crowdsourcing a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, there's crazy people on there like anything else, but, I mean, you take what you want from it. But, yeah, it's Paul R. Zuman's a big Reddit guy.
Oh, I could see that.
He's definitely
that
a big Reddit guy.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
8-7-10 as the Yanks avoid the sweep at the hands of the Rays after Aroldis Chapman gave up three in the top of the 10th, the Ghost Runner included there, so only two on his ledger, but he struggled. Huge on-field celebration following the sixth walk-off homer of the season for the Yanks. That's the most in baseball. And as Meredith interviewed Donaldson in the aftermath on Yes.
Gigantic balloons.
That aside, we learned that there was some extra emotion attached to this one for Donaldson.
Take me through your approach against Jalen Beeks right there.
Well, first off, my Uncle Bill, he had a heart attack 2 days ago. I just want to, I know he's watching the game. I love you. I'm praying for you. It's kind of emotional for that right now.
Got the
Wait,
job
who,
done.
His dad?
His uncle.
Uncle Bill,
who I guess he's close with. He was a little choked up there for a sec. So I got the job done, though. Opposite field grand slam right down the right field line. I never knew this was a thing. It's the third ultimate grand slam in Yankees history. Have you ever heard of the ultimate grand slam? So that's apparently a walk-off slam when you trail by three. So Jason Giambi had
who
the
makes
one.
Up these things?
I don't know, but there are two notable guys. Giambi in the rain against the Twins in his first year.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
That was his first Yankee moment.
Right,
that was
the
moment.
Exactly.
Yep. He became a Yankee that night.
The other ultimate grand slam, Babe Ruth, 1925. So kind
Did
of
Did he
a
hit
cool
it over
list.
The fence or bounce it over?
That I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Just kidding.
Inside the park.
Was there even a fence?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. I don't know. I saw it was in September. That's about all I could tell you. 1925. Donaldson also joined Susan here on the Fan, said he was looking for a changeup on the first pitch of that at bat against Jalen Beeks, got the fastball, and he was fooled.
I think I might have just baited him into throwing the heater again. And I was like, I feel like I have more time than what I initially thought on the heater.
And came through with the big hit, having struggled mightily over the last 7 to 10 days and for much of the season as well. Obviously a wild game back and forth. End result is a positive, though, and a much needed one for Aaron Boone's club.
That's a pretty good release of some joy coming out of that dugout, just with how it's gone here lately.
And they trailed 4-0 early on.
Runs points these days.
I've seen him say it, yeah.
What the hell's that about?
I'm not really sure.
I mean, we know he knows it's a run.
Yeah, maybe just trying to change it up a little bit.
But why?
Because they've been struggling? I don't know. You'd
score
have to ask
a point?
Him. We need some points, yeah.
It's a little bizarre.
I'm not really sure.
I mean, we've been watching baseball since we were 5-6 years old.
We know he likes basketball. Remember, that's how he blew out his knee after 03.
And he was born into the game.
Yeah.
That's
his whole life around it.
Yeah, strange.
Don't know. Anyway.
By the way, think about the different feelings. Beeks wants to just dig a hole and crawl in it. And you got the euphoria for Donaldson.
Yes, and all his teammates as well. You know, we've always, well, does he rub people the wrong way? The Tim Anderson stuff. Judge was like the first guy right greeting him at the plate. Garrett Cole was
That's a sigh of relief for everyone in that clubhouse.
I know, but like, I saw them, like the teammates really seemed to be embracing him. He and Gleyber Torres had a moment in the dugout. He was hugging everybody.
This was a big moment.
It's good to see.
Who knows what happens when he's not hitting a grand slam to win a game.
It's good to see.
Good to see.
Yeah, especially with the way things have been going. Yeah. They needed something. Here I was yesterday telling Sal, no way they're going to lose 3 out of 4 to the Blue Jays. Meanwhile, last night, Corey Kluber's going through them like,
No kidding.
Geez, 6 strikeouts in a row. I'm like, are you kidding me here? Anyway, they did fight back after falling behind 4-0. Anthony Rizzo had the tying home run in the 8th. You also had the Aaron Judge bases loaded walk in the 7th, even though Gleyber Torres decided to swing at the first pitch after a 4-pitch walk and ground into a double play. But, it doesn't matter now. Chapman was a bit of a mess in the 10th. He walked a pair, which set up Francisco Mejia's 3-run double just inside the first base bag down the right field line. But it's all forgotten now, as is the 0-for-6, which 3 strikeouts for the combo of Esteban Florial and Oswaldo Cabrera, who were brought up to provide the spark. Not so much.
You see the video of the crowd reaction to the Chapman pitches?
I did not. No. Yeah,
take a look at that one. Who's got their head in their hands? Who's yelling, let's go? Come on, dude. It's actually very funny as they isolate a bunch of people in the crowd.
And Boone had said before the game, because of course Clay Holmes goes on the IL with the back spasm now, and he gave you the old, well, it'll be kind of closer by committee, and we'll just go based on matchups. And so, this wasn't a closing situation, obviously, but he didn't exactly give you a lot to feel confident about.
That bullpen's a huge problem.
Yeah.
There is not a...
Lou Trevino was not good last night. Marinaccio comes back and he pitched pretty well.
Yeah, but is he going to be your closer in games that matter?
I don't know, but he was kind of, I won't say wrongfully, but he got screwed because he had options and they sent him down, where I think he's given up 1 run since the end of April across like 23 appearances now.
Man, I tell you.
So I don't know. I don't know where they go. it's kind of a problem.
We're going to figure it out over the next month and a half, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. DJ LeMay, who did pinch hit in this game and singled, said he expects to return to the starting lineup tonight. Gets the toe and the foot feeling a little bit better. 1-4 with the Blue Jays, who did beat the Orioles yesterday to avoid a sweep at home. Frankie Montas and Jose Barrios, the starters. Pregame 6:25 here on The Fan, as well as the free Odyssey app. Meantime, in Atlanta, the Mets started the night with a bang, highlighted by Brett Beatty's big league debut.
1-0 to Beatty, hit high in the air to right field, pretty deep. Back goes Acuna at the track, at the wall, and it is gone! Brett Beatty, with his first major league swing, hits a home run off the top of the 16-foot high wall in right field. He salutes his parents on his way around third base. This kid is living the dream.
Howie Rose.
That's
pretty much what it was on WCBS 880. 2-run shot to make it 4-0 Mets in the 2nd after Starling Marte and Francisco Lindor had gone deep in the 1st off of Jake Odorizzi. The family's there. They're going berserk, jumping up and down in the crowd. Al and I had some fun with that this morning.
Little boot brush.
Yeah, I really don't know what to make of this. I've kind of gone back and forth on it.
Breaststroke.
I think what it is you ever, like, just hit somebody next to you when something happens?
Yes, but as we later discussed, the guy to the sister's left, right? So it would be his right arm up against her left. He does a full...
reach around.
And gets her with the left hand, which I was like, how does that happen? Now, I get they're excited, they're jumping up and down, but it was the left hand that kind of smacked her right on the chest.
Maybe he's a lefty.
Right after she drops the no effing way as she's watching the ball fly over the fence. And then underrated, the woman in the orange behind, her eyes almost popped out of her head. She was so excited.
Yeah, I just can't imagine in that moment thinking, like, this is the time that I'm going to grab the ball.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it was intentional, but I just wonder how he ended up coming over with the left,
Well, she's jumping up and down.
He did kind of nudge her a little bit at first, but the right little forearm is just jumping up and down. And all of a sudden, in comes the left for the slap.
Well, the screenshot of it looks really bad.
Yeah, it does.
Think
how quick that happens.
If you see the screenshot and then you watch the actual, it's so fast. That's why it looks like more of a,
of course,
it's a slap.
He cupped her breast from behind.
Anyway, good for the babies.
They said 22 people made that trip from Texas.
From Texas, yeah.
That's on a day's notice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Matthew, I was about to go outside to pull the vacuum out of the pool. He's like, where are you going? Beatty's first at bat. I'm like, come on, first at bat? He goes, the kid can hit. I'm like, all right, I'll watch. And he hits the home run.
Yeah. Now, I got to check. So we heard Howie there, obviously. When I watched the MLB.com highlights package, I think at some point Wayne said, just go deep or something like that. Now, obviously not in that clip, but I got to go back and see if he actually called that maybe when he came to the plate. Because he takes one pitch and then on the swing, yeah. Bang, it's gone.
And by the way, when did Boomer say reach around so dramatically? When did that happen? Like, that just hit me. I mean, that was so dramatic.
Give you a date here in a sec.
Yeah.
Dramatic and creepy.
Yeah.
Reach around.
What context does that come up in?
That's a good question.
It was actually from Astoria because it got the date when we imported everything into Burley.
Wow. My goodness.
You know,
you probably have no idea the context.
Young, naughty Boomer.
Yeah. Reach around.
We hear that one more time?
Reach around.
Incredible.
Anyway, you had the rain delay, which Max Scherzer fought through only a half hour or so, and he was out there stalking the grounds crew as they were still readying the mound for resumption. I tried to read his lips. Like, he basically told them, like, get off. Let's go. I need to get back on the mound and start pitching.
That sucked, too, because they said the forecast before the game had no rain in the forecast, and that thing just rolled in, and it just started pouring.
At least it was brief, because I saw they went into the delay, and I'm like, oh, my God, again, their pitcher's through two, and they're going to have to go to the bullpen again.
No, they were all right.
Yeah, he settled in after that until the seventh when out of nowhere. He kind of lost the strike zone. So Buck Showalter went to Adam Ottavino, who served up the 3-run homer to Robbie Grossman. All of a sudden, it's 6-5, but the Mets got 3 in the ninth to restore order, 9-5, and they would need it because Trevor May struggled in the bottom half before eventually finishing off a 9-7 win over the Braves. Here was Beatty with Steve Gelbs right after the final out, excited to hit the first homer, obviously, in his debut.
Just pure joy. I mean, my family's here. I get to celebrate with them. Honestly, the bigger thing, though, was we won the game. So I'm glad I could help contribute and win a game for the New York Mets.
Very composed. He had all the talking points, you know, the professional answers there at 22, making his big. I mean, basically was in AAA for what, a couple weeks?
Yeah, I think that's it.
It was not long. But the minor league
nine
numbers,
games.
Yeah, it was, right. Not even a couple of weeks. Exactly. Also, smoked the
Francisco
ball.
Alvarez is pissed off about this.
Maybe.
I mean,
because he's the number one prospect in baseball.
Without knowing the guy, the position
he's been in AAA longer. He's been lobbying to come up.
He's younger, though, I believe.
Yeah.
And to come up and catch. Yeah, I mean, obviously, they could use him at DH, but they have enough at DH now with the acquisitions that they made.
They need
a third base.
When they called up Beatty, they had to talk to him and explain to him what was going on.
Because you say, hey, Escobar and Guillorme are down. They're a third baseman.
Right, exactly. But, I mean, I'm sure Alvarez is like, well, listen, what else do I have to do?
Right, moonshots left and right here.
Come on.
Tape measure home runs. Beatty had the smoke that ball off the lefty as well. The shortstop made a great play there. So he looked the part, as you would expect based on the scouting report. As for Buck Showalter, he was gushing about Scherzer's ability to stay focused through the delay and still give them some length.
Max, that's the thing that I reach back for as much as, Brett. But he never ceases to show me why he is who he is.
And Scherzer helping the Mets get on the board in this series. Much needed.
Every game's big. We know they're a great team. You know, they won the World Series for a reason. They got, most of their team back, and they're going to compete as hard as anybody in the league.
And the Mets will go for the four-game split tonight. Jacob deGrom, Max Fried, 7:20.
One thing, too, about him, and I'm not saying it was on purpose. Maybe it wasn't. He sets the tone immediately.
Oh, yeah.
He goes up and in on a couple of guys, and then, the crowd, boo. Yeah, give me the ball. I didn't hit you. Let's
Very
go.
Very intense.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, you're down and away, and the guy's waving at it.
Yeah. And I like watching him walk around in the dugout. It's just
from
the moment he first starts until he's taken out, even after he's taken out of the game, and as Ottavino was pitching, he's up on the rail.
He's there.
Now, of course, the runs ended up tacked onto his line.
Well,
so he's charged with
four
runs.
They won, though.
Yes, they did. That is the important thing. And I guess moderately good news on Taijuan Walker. Nothing serious, but it still sounds like he might miss Sunday's start, so they're going to need a pitcher at some point. Al and I were talking about this morning. Might make more sense, whoever the extra guy is going to be.
That's the Phillies, right? This week.
Yeah, and they have the doubleheader Saturday.
And you see what the Phillies are doing now? The broadcast on TV?
No.
when the Phillies make a good play, they put up a Keith Hernandez approved play logo.
Come on.
It's actually, I think that's cute. It's funny. It's a little cartoon of Keith Hernandez, and it's stamped with a Keith Hernandez approval.
That is, yeah. That's, I think that's funny. That's fun.
But I mean, they really took that personally. It's unbelievable. It's like,
well, you know what we probably would do is funny.
Yeah, I guess.
He basically said, I can't stand the sight of them because they suck.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Right, which is great.
It's funny.
I know. I mean, I would welcome that type of rivalry if I were them. But yeah, all right, they're having fun with it. So
I thought it was cute.
Joe Flacco, finalist for the Hall of Fame class of 2023, and I guess because this was the senior committee.
Say Joe Flacco?
Flacco.
I thought you said Flacco.
I thought I heard Flacco.
Really? Yeah. That's one of those examples. Like, I literally heard Flecko in my own ears.
I heard Flecko. Wow, you know, I thought you were going to talk.
Joe Flacco.
I thought you were going to say something about him.
Joe Flacco's on my mind, I guess.
Yeah.
Joe Flecko.
Okay.
That sounded much clearer.
Jerry Callow. Right. Yes. So Klecko was a finalist, and because this was the senior committee, it seemed like it's considered like almost like a formality that he will end up
good
getting enshrined in Canton next summer.
Yeah, it does
One more. Joe Flacco finalist. Wow. Yeah. I swear in my ears.
Happens to all of us.
It sounded okay, but that's wild. Okay. Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco.
I'm like, Joe Flacco to the Hall of Fame? What?
Better than another F word, but you know.
Or you can mispronounce a writer's name, as I did the other night, too.
Chipmunk.
So, yes.
Oh, what did you
Joe
say?
Joe Flacco.
What do you think I said?
He's talking golf, Alan Chipmunk.
Well, I guess that could be two ways.
Yeah,
I mispronounced the first part.
Oh, okay.
Ship.
Oh, okay. Did you have to dump it? Was that bad? Or?
I don't know what they did. I corrected myself immediately. I mean, I caught myself, but I said it.
Happens to the best of them.
Uh-huh.
And they, of course, brought up Hockey Hall of with me.
Alan Chipmunk. Chipmunk.
Oh, we did get the Minko choking you guys were looking for last week.
Oh,
you missed
man.
It. And I'll tell you, your boy Sal, I had no clue where to find it. He goes, you know what? Search, go to the computer, you know, the drive and search McFrog. And that's and that's what did it.
That's right. Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, then my folder is so unorganized.
Because we were looking for who acquired Sal's folder when he his original
left.
Demise here at the Fan, and we couldn't even find that.
Oh, man. So this is the one with Neer you're talking about?
Yeah.
What happened here?
We played it yesterday, was it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man.
At the end of the show.
I'm bummed I missed it.
Yeah.
All right, CeeLo, we'll see you next hour. It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Dramatic wins for both the Mets and Yankees last night. Much needed. Huge games for both heading in. If you want to talk about that, 877-337-6666. More on the Mets coming up in just about 10 minutes. I did want to bring this up, though, because I watched over the last couple of days on HBO Max the George Carlin documentary that they put out. I think it was a Judd Apatow production. And it's two parts, and it's tremendous. It goes through his entire life, his entire career, the struggles that he had, and all of that. Now, the George Carlin that I got to know and love was the one towards the end that was so done with everything. Like, done with people, done with politicians, done with just the human race.
Society.
Right, but it always struck a chord with me, and it always made me laugh and then also think a lot. But in seeing that again and then going through it, I'm like, man, like, you know, some of the thoughts that I have and some of the ways that I think was directly attributed to me watching him when I was younger.
You were influenced.
Yes, I think I was influenced. I mean, in a good way, in a bad way, I guess, because some of it's like really negative, dark stuff. But, I mean, a lot of it's true, is what he was saying. And it's amazing how his work, you know, there's a lot of comedians that have come and gone. But his work, and he's been gone since 2008 now.
Mm.
He's been dead. But it's really withstood the test of time. Like, you could take some of his stuff that he said back in the early 90s and apply it today, and you start to see some of that on social media lately, where it's like, hey, if George Carlin were around, he'd probably be saying this about that. But, I mean, it's really, really good, and I would recommend it. But, I mean, the stages that he went through, I mean, he went through, first he was like a clean-cut comedian that was in a duo. You know, then he went counterculture, beard, long hair, 7 dirty words. Then he ended up being someone who was really struggling in the 80s to figure out who the hell he was. He was doing a lot of word stuff. He did this bit on peas that everybody was
making fun of him for. And then finally he found his voice and came out and just was bang, bang, bang with stuff that was going on in current events,
mm-hmm.
and transformed himself into this, you know, basically political commentator that is, you know, now looked at as one of the smartest comedians that ever lived.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that the comedy was in truth.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases where he would just spell it out for you and we would laugh at it. And one of the, I would say, for me, one of the funniest stand-up bits that I've ever seen, has nothing to do with politics, but it was when he did the whole airline scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the latter stages of his career, but true and hilarious. And I could watch that over. It's like Eddie Murphy with Raw, that a lot of people will always harken back to that. For me, the George Carlin airline stuff prior to his, probably early 2000s maybe, yeah, when he did that, is some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen. And then his last, I think it was the what you're talking about, was his last HBO special where he just railed on society and the human race.
You know, I think there was two. The one in 2005, I was actually there at the Beacon Theater to see it. It was Life is Worth Losing was the name of it. And there was like, headstones all on the stage behind him. And he just came out and just, and I was like, it was 2005, so I was in my 20s at that point. I was 23, I guess. And just, you know, I just was glued to him. And I'll go back and watch it now, and it's just amazing. At that age, too. I mean, he was right about 70 years old and just, you know, so sharp. The fact he memorized all that stuff, the way that he weave in and out of things, and the way that he used the language. There's few people ever like him,
yep,
in the history of comedy. I mean, there's nobody really like him in the history of comedy.
We had a discussion yesterday about, you know, Imus and Stern and guys like that. I remember him coming in studio with Imus and doing like a full hour, probably around that time, maybe to promote that, because it would make sense, 2004, 5, whatever. And I remember just, you talk about being glued to him. I was glued to the set watching him. I remember VHS tape, taping it, mm-hmm, and watching it over and over, and the two of them back and forth. He was something for sure.
Yeah, when people talk about, like, you know, three dinner guests, dead or alive, he'd always be one of them for me. You know, and he's also someone I think about, like, you know, we don't have a guy like that right now that I think can spell things out as, you know, because we're so, like, one thing he did was he wasn't, and things weren't as divisive back when he was in 2008 as they are now. Like, they were, but not as bad as they are now. But he would trash every side of everything.
Yep.
You know, and he was not on one side or another. Like, now it's either, you know, this guy thinks this way or that guy thinks that way, and there's no in between. You know, he just said what was on his mind, and there was no real agenda there. It was just whatever was in his head. And then to get to that point, like, he talked about how he finally didn't give a crap about anything. Like, he finally got to, you know, 65 years old or whatever, just didn't care about anything, didn't care what people thought. It was all about what he wanted to do, and that's how he got the next level in his career. But it's a shame that it takes a lot of people to that age.
Some people never get there.
Right, to not give a crap about anything.
Yeah, some people will die worried about what people are thinking about them.
Yes!
That is
I'll use that. All right, Boomer and Gio on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.